Welcome to the Stull Community of Faith podcast. Our name has changed from Stull United Methodist Church, but our location is the same. We like to say it is where Topeka and Lawrence meet at 1596 East 250 Road. We invite you to join us as we worship each Sunday at 11 o'clock a.m. Or may you be blessed as you listen to today's scripture and message by our interim pastor, Amaris Tao.
Thank goodness for the Bible.
Today's scripture comes from Romans 8, 38 and 39. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning, Stull Community Faith.
Morning. We're all slow.
Good afternoon. It's been a bit of a week, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Not really a great timing for a fire. I was away in Branson when I heard about it. I was so sad I couldn't be here to help out. But not just that. We just left the conference. We just spent some money on a sweet new sign. We haven't hired a pastor yet. We just have some kid preaching woo-woo nonsense every week. And we just started having in-person food ministries again. Why now? I'm not sure there could have been a more inconvenient time for a fire, to be honest. It's during times like these that I felt the farthest away from God when I was growing up. I always wondered why God would let this happen. If he's so big and powerful, then why isn't he doing anything about the problems that I see around me and the hardships that I face? Why would a loving God let us feel pain? It made even less sense to me when people would say, God's just trying to teach you a lesson. A lesson. That's kind of abusive. If a parent allowed their kid to get kidnapped just to teach them a lesson, that kid would be put in foster care. And if God is the person who set fire to this church, and I look this up, I think I'm correct, that would be a non-person felony with a minimum of 15 months in jail. What's the difference between a felony and a non-person felony, you ask? I have no idea, the law is very confusing. I might have that on. Either way, it would be jail time. I also hated the phrase, God makes you never get you anything you can't handle. I think that's a big old load of cow manure, personally. If God knew high school kids could be bullied all 4 years, then why did one shoot up a school and end up taking his own life? That theology just never made sense to me. And frankly, that's not a God I personally want to follow. Luckily, there is another way to think about this. Sometimes bad stuff just happens. Why? Because we live in an imperfect world with imperfect people. It's our job as followers of God to bring heaven to earth the best way we can by following God's words and the specific calls he puts on each of our hearts. But in the end, we are still imperfect. And that's okay. God knows this and God still loves us. It's literally the reason why he came down in human form to sacrifice himself. It was for our sins because we are imperfect, and yet we are so loved. And because of this love, God does everything in his power to make life out of the bad for us. My mom got cancer, but it was also the first time she ever lived in her life. And she ended up getting her dream job at the church. My sister has an autoimmune disease and had to spend a lot of time in hospitals growing up. But that exposed her to pharmacy. Which melded her passion for the sciences but also helping others. And now that's her call in life. In fact, she left last night for Alaska. She's working in a native hospital this month. I believe that God is working in this church, and if we look hard enough, we'll start to see that light. For now, though, we can be thankful the fire wasn't worse than it was. A little bit of a nerdy church fact. This theology of God making good out of bad situations is a Wesleyan theology and comes from the idea of prevenient grace, which basically means You don't need to do anything to earn God's love. He loves you, take it or leave it. Baptists, on the other hand, are a denomination that follow the idea that God gives you trials to teach you a lesson. This comes from a Calvinist theology, which follows the concept of irresistible grace, or that you need to be baptized in order to be saved. Neither one is good or bad, they're just different. I obviously have an opinion, but I was raised Methodist. And I always liked learning this kind of stuff as a kid because it helped me understand why two different Protestant churches could be so different and where that variety in these systems of Christianity could come from. So I thought I'd share that with you. Anywho, regardless of the good that could come from this fire, that doesn't negate the fact that it really sucks and definitely doesn't change the fact that there are a lot of feelings involved in this fire. Feelings are always valid, whether they make sense to us or not. With this in mind, I decided today would be a good day to talk about grief. For some of you, that might feel like a bit of overkill. It was just a fire and one died. But grief isn't just an emotion saved from the loss of life. Grief is a cycle we go through during times of change and transition as well. So what is grief? Grief is a strong, sometimes overwhelming bundle of emotions triggered by loss, change, or transition. Grief occurs when there is a feeling of loss, like after a death, but a big part of that loss has to do with the change and transition that follows. This could look like receiving a cancer diagnosis. There's a loss of freedom and health and safety, but also a big transition as your life has to accommodate your time for treatment. It could look like changing careers. You're losing something you spent a lifetime building hopefully loved, to jump into the unknown and start from scratch. It could look like your kids going off to college. You're losing a baby. And if you homeschooled your kids, you're also losing a career and having to transition into what it means to have adult children. It could even look like your kid coming out as trans or as something else on the spectrum. You're losing a daughter and now you have to learn what it's like to have a son. The hard part is humans don't instinctually like change. Change is uncertain, which means we can't guarantee our safety and our bodies want to go into fight or flight. In the 21st century, we want to avoid that as much as possible to the best of our abilities. Unless we're actually in physical danger. Why? I talked about this 2 weeks ago. Because those chemicals released in our body during fight or flight aren't supposed to stay in our bodies. They're supposed to be used up to save our lives from that physical threat. But grief is not a physical threat. Those chemicals stay in our body, and that can be detrimental to our health in the long term. So how do we avoid that? By using all the tools I've been preaching about since I got here. And I didn't even plan this. We do our prayer practices. We add in some extra self-care into our schedules, and we lift up everything to God. A quick recap of those terms, because I know like the first Sunday was here was July 3rd. A prayer practice is anything you do to intentionally connect with God. That could be anything from gardening or journaling for a more traditional practice, like Lectio Divina or the Examen. Self-care is intentionally doing something that will improve your well-being, health, or happiness. This could look like setting healthy boundaries, eating less sweets, calling up friends, or making your bed. As a Christian, prayer practices and self-care often overlap, which is totally fine, and in fact, I encourage it. I think the overlap really helps us to lift up the truth of what we're feeling to God, especially during hard times like this. We lift up our feelings to God because God cares. Not only does God care, but when we go through hardship and weep and mourn, God weeps and mourns with us. John 11, 32 through 36 says, "When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died,' her brother being Lazarus. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. 'Where have you laid him?' they asked. 'Come and see, Lord,' they replied. And Jesus wept." Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." We know from our Lady's night sermon that Lazarus and his sisters were incredibly close to Jesus. They were basically family. Jesus had to know that Lazarus was going on to heaven, and yet God laments with us. God feels our deepest pains with us. That kind of empathy God shows us is another reason why I'm convinced that God does not do bad things to us to teach us a lesson. Paul Arthur Riley, a phenomenal author, says it best. "You can't tell me that it doesn't change everything, that the one who created all things and holds together all things cried." She continues, "There is no such thing as a lone wail. Every howl reverberates off the walls of God's chest and finds its way back to us, carrying his own tears with it." Why would God want to inflict pain and hardship on us and themselves? Why not save us all some tears? Now, I know this sermon doesn't really seem very upbeat and hopeful, and I did that for two reasons. First, I wasn't sure if you were ready for hope yet. This fire only happened a few days ago, and I know many of you have been working really hard to handle the situation. So I wanted to make sure you've had enough time to kick and scream and cry in a corner and flip off the sky and curse at whatever you needed to and lament all you needed to before we brought in the sunshine. The second reason is, I don't really think you need hope from me. You are Soul Community of Faith. You have survived multiple denominations, lots of pastors, good and not so good. Your sanctuary is okay, this building is all good, and your community is fantastic. You don't need hope from me, an outsider. When you're ready, just wipe the tears from your eyes and lean into the amazing community that surrounds you and continue doing the amazing work just like you always have. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we had a fire in our church this week, and it really freaking sucked. We pray that you wrap your arms around us as we mourn the loss of what was and prepare ourselves for what will be. Holy Spirit, we ask that you work through us and our community to bring light to this tragedy so that we may continue your work with even more excitement. We give thanks for the first responders and all who helped to put out that fire and save our beautiful church. Be with us all this week as we connect with you. All this I pray in your heavenly name. Amen.